Special meeting.
Okay, I'm gonna call the October 30th meeting of the Law, Rules, and Government Services Committee to order. Roll call by clerk.
Chair Kovacs.
Here.
Deputy Chair Levine.
Here.
Legislator Givera.
Present.
Legislator Hanson.
Here.
Legislator Harmon. Legislator Kitchen. Legislator Ushetel.
Here.
And Chairman Criswell.
Here.
You have six members present, two absent.
Please stand for the budget committee.
In two very public, we can say is one nation.
Thank you for being here today. We are thankful for the department heads for appearing before this committee to approving their rural budgets for 2025. And I'd like to thank staff of the legislature for preparing the committee members for today's meeting. So we'll take it the departments of the order they are on the agenda. First, I'd like to ask Commissioners Torres and Quigley from the Board of Elections. If you'd like to, please.
We'll run up a little bit. We'll run up a little bit.
You guys aren't busy right now.
We're in and out, so.
I don't think there's going anything going on today.
So the way we'll work this is I'll give you a chance to provide a brief overview or synopsis of your budget for next year, and then we'll take questions from.
Okay. Next year is 2025, a full local election, countywide offices, legislative offices, town offices. We have scaled it to what that looks like. The only big thing that we're doing next year is upgrading our poll pads. So we're getting new poll pads. Grant money has been given to us this year to purchase them, but we did split that expense half in 24 and half in 25 because we're advised to do so by budget.
By budget. Yeah.
Yes. But it's fully covered by the grant money.
We did also budget for our payroll, our inspector pay for part-timers to go to $18.50 an hour, which would meet the potential for a minimum of a $300 a day election day pay that the state is looking to pass legislation on. We were just being preemptive because we didn't want to be required to have to do that after the fact and come back and ask for money. So that is why you may see a little increase in some of that, although we are also off balancing that because it's not as big of an election, doesn't require us to have as much part-time staff and training to be deployed to those elections. And again, we're always going to just be flexible to whatever happens and takes place in the June primary, because should we not have to do a countywide primary, we have the potential to save up to $100,000 on our budget. And then just to reiterate, you'll see that there are grants in there. They are split, but those grants will pretty much be fully expended prior to even getting to next year, as we plan on bringing in all that new equipment to have it ready for next year as soon as possible. We do have the outgoing iPads as like something we're working to relocate and repurpose rather than sell, because there's no value, true value in selling those iPads to get like $50 a piece. It's rather than try and sell them, we're going to try and repurpose them either in our office, county offices. We've done very well working with many other departments in a pinch, from even the county clerks, county attorneys, and any other department you want to name. So we're very appreciative of all the department heads for coming to our aid when we need it.
Commissioners, anything you requested in your budget that was not included for the proposed budget?
Yes, we requested a pay increase for our deputies, scaled to other deputies in comparable boards of elections, and that was the only thing that we asked for that was denied.
And just for the record, we were told not to put in any pay increases in regards to that from the county executive's office, under the impression that we would be seeing a salary study at some point. We have not seen a salary study, nor are we aware of one, so we weren't able to compensate for that.
What is the estimated increase for the deputies?
It was above the, it was at 5.5% rather than the 3 or 2 point something that was suggested for everybody.
Questions from the committee? What's your comments?
My understanding, too, is that they did not get a pay increase on last year's budget either, even a cost of living increase. So I definitely support a pay increase for the deputies, and I'll make a budget amendment. So I'll propose a pass.
Thank you.
Did they not receive even the 3% in this budget?
Correct. The deputies and the commissioners did not receive, well, last year's, the current budget. And
yeah, I'm saying in the executive budget, they did.
Every across the
just
board.
The third. Okay, just the third. That's what I was.
Yes. Just this one, but not last year's budget.
No, yeah, so last year they got a 0%. This year they got a 3%, yep. even though you guys asked for a 5%.
Yep. Right.
For those deputies, yeah.
Any other questions from the committee?
Miscellaneous contractual expense other. I'm sure you don't know what's in that line, yeah. but maybe you do. Last year's budget, the 2024 budget was $15,483. Year to date, $64,428. Moved it to $105,000, but historically the most you spend is $90,000.
So that's just the readjusting of some of that grant expenditure. Has fallen, has been able to be covered under the miscellaneous contractual expenses. Most notably, our vendor service agreement with our full pass.
Any other
and depending on the copy you have, we have a note section that should provide you the detail outline and summary of each of those categories.
Anyone else? Seeing none. Thank you, treasurers.
Much appreciated.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Don't forget to vote.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to have the Sheriff's Department, Insurance Officer Brian McGregor.
Hello.
And Deputy Insurance Officer Suzanne LeVetter.
Nice to see you. Good afternoon, both of you. Please go ahead and give us an overview of your mother's health.
Well, the major change is that we are merging with the safety department. I think you all know that.
Yeah.
And actually, Suzanne is going to be taking over as the insurance officer. I'll be leaving the service as of December 31st.
On 4th, but after normally, I think that was the very service.
It's been a pleasure.
Questions for the Sheriff's Department? Can you just explain a little more about the merger, what's that entail, and what are these entities?
Well, I don't see that we really have a lot of repetitive duties, but they're similar. I think that Diane will be heading the department as the risk management officer. Suzanne will be the deputy risk management officer and insurance officer. As far as the saving, I don't know. I think that works are a little bit different.
Yeah, I think it's more of a long-term venture.
So if you can elaborate, how does long-term business save us money? I see this for giving an increase.
Right.
Where's the savings?
Well, I don't think there's much of a savings right now, but I think the idea is once we can get together, we can collaborate and we can work on some things that maybe we have like shared services that are similar. We don't have like repeated services, but I think that we could work together to, you know, make it more efficient.
So another item we looked at with the budget, I know Diane Vital presented the other day to the safety committee in the safety meeting. She had requested an administrative position. That position was not provided through the budget. Through this merger, that position was not funded. The administrative work will come from the current administrative assistant within the insurance department as we merge the two departments together. Historically, when we had, you know, the workers' comp fund that is now handed by an outside third-party vendor, that work is done, yes, through the insurance department. A lot of that work also works collaboratively with safety. So while it's not necessarily immediately duplicative work, they do work collaboratively. And we're hopeful that as we work through with our safety department, we can also look at reducing our insurance premiums in the out years as we up our safety work, as we up our training program, and that sort of thing.
Obviously, the insurance department is set forth in the charter. It's a required department.
Okay.
So it would be a local law then, too.
Correct.
Correct. Okay. Rick,
I'm looking at a difference from the department request of $800,000 to the executive recommended of $650,000 in the insurance settlements general liability category. And I was just curious, that's a big difference there. And I just was wondering why.
We get up from all the attorneys that we deal with for our liability lawsuits, what their projection is.
Hmm.
And then we basically would put in for that amount. But historically, it usually comes in lower.
Got it.
So in order to, you know, reduce the budget a little bit, you know, we have a spreadsheet that shows us exactly what, you know, we feel would happen in the year to come.
Okay. And you were satisfied with the 650, even though you requested 800?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Can you explain the self-insurance fund and what that does?
It's a workers' compensation for all the employees in the county, and there are 35 towns and villages, and then maybe 30 to 35 volunteer fire departments, plus the community college. So it's a pretty big fund.
And we're self-insured.
Yeah, all the participants.
Yeah.
And we monitor all the claims. We do have a third-party administrator that handles it now,
mm-hmm.
but we do work very closely with them, and we make sure that everything is done, you know, the right way to save everybody money.
Any other questions? Seeing none, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
County Attorney. Thank you, not Chairman.
Good afternoon, everyone. Maybe I'll just take up this extension a slightly different angle of that to my subject. Commission is from the perspective of a traveling entertainment council. Last year, I sat here in the spare room, and I think there are quite a few guys, members here, that were in here. I told you I was about to lose three attorneys. I lost three attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
So all three attorneys, one to a neighboring county, for about $47,000 increase. One went private for twice the amount, and another went to another private law firm after I spent a year and a half training. I'm about to lose attorneys again. And that's my huge problem. In our budget, I've created, and it's not just a matter of salary. It's also an issue of where to growth. Everyone in my department is an assistant to the interns. There's no possibility of this growth. So what I've done, as you've seen there, is I've asked for some title changes just to create just structure, some level of relation in the department. You know, senior assistant attorney or an associate county attorney. For the other county, that's the time. We don't. So I'm asking for the same in a budget. Even what we are asking for, even what we're being fought in the floor for raises, is not going to attract candidates I've offered five or six offers over the past year. I have one position I have not been able to fill since October of last year. So that results in me being in the office and that's even talking like it really is dire. I've offered, I think, five or six offers to people over the past year. They've all turned it down. One, the salary is not enough. And two, one of the first things they ask me is there any prospect for upward mobility? I'm like, nope, that's just the title. That is, there's so much ground. I'm not sure if you guys seen what Sullivan County just did, because there were several months ago, the county attorney, and I, just for information, I now sit as the president of the New York State County Attorney Association. The county attorney for Sullivan County just called me up a few months ago and said, Clint, do you have any resumes that I could use? Because the contract and on. I go, how much are you looking to offer? He said, starting 109. I start laughing. I go, I have 85. I can't fill anything. Sullivan County just passed a resolution for starting county attorney salaries of 125. There's no bloody way how I'm going to attract anyone to fill these positions. We have to do something, guys. So that's the position I'm in. In the meantime, the work gets more and more complicated. The volume gets more and more, and I don't have attorneys, and there's only so much I can personally do. So that's my plea to you guys.
I know it's not what you're asking for here, but I did bring something up last year when you were talking about just how overloaded everything and backed up everything was, and I presented the idea of at least providing some funds for temporary legal services to help you with getting things moved forward, at least getting things off of people's plates. You know, is that something that would be
helpful? Well, so what I've done, just so you know, Chairman Griswell, what I've done, I prosecute the health violations for the health department. I don't have anyone to do that. Mm-hmm. I've formed that out to an outside law firm. Mm-hmm. At almost $200 an hour.
Okay.
Section 75s, the certain matters, all of them last year I formed them out to an outside law firm because I do not have the staff to do it. And that's what I used to do a lot of when I was the first deputy. I just don't have the staff or requisite experience to do that. Mm-hmm. I formed it out to an outside law firm. The two attorneys that I have managed to hire, one started in September, one started in February, they're very, very inexperienced attorneys that I have to sit and take the time. Every single thing they do, I have to sit and teach them on top of everything else that I do as a county attorney. So that's what I'm dealing with.
Sure.
And what I'm worried about is they're going to stay for the year or two and get whatever knowledge they get, and then they're gone because they're not getting paid.
I think the issue is also an issue that other law firms in the area also have the same issue with hiring younger attorneys, stay for a couple of years, and then they. So it's, I certainly understand the situation. Have you thought about, would it help to have part-time attorneys?
Again, I'm going to run into the same issue because I'm going to have part-time attorneys that don't understand. They municipal law is, how many lawyers around here practice municipal law? That would be a better way to do that.
Just an idea that some attorneys may want to shorten time, full time for in government. There's obviously some benefits there.
It's Chairman Kovacs, he's reached out to some local. I've asked this, some local lawyers down here. Do you know anyone? Yeah, no one. I can't tell you. Absolutely no one. I've gotten literally the resume pipeline. I think I may get one resume every few months. We're not even getting the rest of it.
How do you advertise your positions?
Swabian Law School, Hayes Law School, Indeed, the county, so we use a bunch of different sources that we reach out to.
The reason I ask that is because we heard this exact same conversation with the district attorney's office, as well as the public defender's office. So clearly there's an issue that we're having recruiting people in the legal field. So maybe that's something that we can think about. Is there some better way that we can do retention, or is it just
I can tell you as attorney, it's common. Young attorneys want to be in the city. They want to be in Albany. They don't want to be in Ulster County. Okay. It's nothing against Ulster County. It's all suburban and rural counties in New York have the same.
Mm-hmm.
I use the New York State Bar Association's Career Services Center, and I check that out every once in a while. And I always see St. Lawrence County, Indian County attorneys, Tri County. So it's the same. They're all in the same situation.
My thought is that if the salary is attractive enough and the possibility of staying, they'll stay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They will stay. And that's what Sullivan County's solution is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm noticing the department's reports is 1.1. million, whereas so it's basically 60,000 more than the executive recommended. Is that because of a difference in salaries? Was that the change that you had more salaries than were approved by the executive?
Partly, but I also think that if, like, for example, my conference expenses, that's 15,000 that was requested and if you look at what we had for 2024 was 15. The thing is, I had no attorneys to do that with last year. I had no one to go to our annual conferences that we do. So there's no money to spend there. But I assume that if I have full staff, it would be, the money would be needed.
And which conference is this?
We go to the County Attorneys Association. There's a winter conference, and then there's a huge annual conference that all 57 counties, and that's the association that I'm the president of this year.
So to follow up on that, my question, I guess, then is there a pay increase built into the executive's recommendation? Do we need a larger pay increase for what you believe is necessary to hire someone? If so, what is that number going to be?
I think and Jamie, I think you can speak to that. Mm-hmm. Normal 3%, I think, for all management across the board.
Yeah, I would ask this of the DA's office as well. Sort of a kind of plain language. Here's what we have right now. Here's what we want. I think that would be helpful for committee members, but we're not really seeing that laid out.
I think, was it last year, maybe? I think Legislative Office had asked us last year or before. And we kind of provided based on our surrounding, our neighbors, that's, what their salary structures are. Yes, I can provide that to you guys. Again, what Orange County, what Dutchess County does, what Greene County does, what Sullivan County does.
Well, in addition to that, if I may, in addition to that, also, your desired numbers of full-time, part-time, I just think it would be helpful to see a layout of a plan of here's where we are now, here's where I'd like to get to, here's the money that it would take us to get from here to there, and then we can actually look at it and say incrementally, maybe we can say we'll make changes in the 25 budget to this or 26 budget or whatever. This is obviously a conversation with the executive, but it would give me personally something to hold on to, because these are just numbers up in the air and it doesn't
matter. Ideally, I would love to have two or three more terms on top of what I have.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I said, the amount of work, the amount of proposed stream response protection orders that we do, AOTs, assisted outpatient treatments, are just skyrocketing and just keep going up. These are, and they take a significant amount of time of the attorneys to do that on top of the 1,500 or 1,600 contracts that we process. On top of, I could go on and on and on, but yeah, that's not the point. I could do with several more attorneys, and I don't have space. I don't have the space to put them. I don't have space for the staff that we have now.
Well, it sounds like you're also, if I may, Chair, you also have, new positions could potentially sit empty as other positions have set. Right. I mean, if you said you have trouble getting resumes and having people apply and people are turning down jobs. So if we created new positions in the current landscape of salary range.
No, they'll
sit empty.
Of course.
Right. And so it sounds like there's a need to shore up the positions that you have. I see, there's really only one. I'm looking at the title change for the senior assistant county attorney here. That's the only significant increase in pay. I guess there's also an increase for the associate county attorney.
And those are well below
Well below the wage that you just mentioned. So it sounds like you would never. We would expect those, if you got new positions, we would expect those to not be successfully filled because they're going to be in these ranges.
Correct.
And we can't increase them because the people sitting in the positions now are going to be like, what the heck is this? So it sounds like the first order of business is to shore up what's going on in the office right now. There's a need for stabilizing.
Yes, sir.
Exactly. Yes, are these are positions that will be covered by the salary study, right? I mean, I hate to ask this again, but let's ask you that.
So they're at the point right now where they're developing the pay plans. So we are through the market analysis part of the study. They'll take all the market analysis, look at all the JQCs, maybe what's it called, put everybody into now a pay plan. Those pay plans would then be part of, obviously, contract negotiations for all union positions. For management positions, we'll be setting up a committee that will start to look and dive into all those pay plans.
What is it? What is a pay plan?
Pay plan is really your pay schedules. So looking at, I'll use Clint's office, looking at Clint's office, county attorney, it on market should be here. Everyone underneath him should fall within this range. And that would be your pay plan, similar to a salary schedule you would see within a union contract.
I mean, would it be fair to say that that's the whole point of this all?
Yes.
Okay. So
I think the pay plan also includes a timeline.
Correct.
So it's not just from here to here. It's from here to here over this amount of time with these increases and suggests.
So what's the timeline for that?
I think that meeting is getting scheduled for next week to start looking at those pay plans. And then obviously for union, that goes through the union negotiation process for ultimate recommendations for implementation.
So the format that we'll receive this in is not just here's the state of the issue, here's the status of the issue, but here's what we intend to do about it.
Yes.
Is that fair?
Yes.
Are we going to receive the salary study in the form of a change that you are asking us to implement it, or are we going to receive the salary study in more of a raw form where we can understand the problem for ourselves?
I think it could be both. So certainly I think in Chair Fizzle, you've seen the market data and Gavars too, Legislator Gavars. So it's going to be a mix of both of that. And then the conversations will have to be happened on how we implement it.
Okay.
But there's a lot of market data. They did a lot of market analysis to show where the positions are ranking. Questions went back and forth from the committee back to the company on how did you rank it this way? Did you look at this position? This title is slightly different. Understanding some of those nuances. And then the pay plan should be a more succinct schedule, if you will, of how it should be implemented with a report.
And is this going to hit all at once with every single position,
correct,
all in one large report?
Yeah.
Okay. And are you giving some thought to the social side of how this is going to roll out information through the county workforce?
Absolutely. Okay. That will be a major component of this.
Thank you.
Comments?
So I think all of that's great, but that's not going to happen for this budget, is my understanding, right? Because we're not going to get it until after the budget gets approved after it. So we still have this question of what do we do to allow the county attorney to be able to hire people to do the job he needs to get done? And I like what Chair Criswell said, is like, we need a plan. You know, we can't just have, I need more money, I need more of this. I need to know what the plan is so that we can put the motion, we can put the resolutions in place to do the budget amendments. So we need to know what they are. We can't just say, oh, we're going to increase money to this department without knowing exactly what it's going to be. So my suggestion is that if the county attorney wants us to do something for this budget year, that he prepare a plan for us that we can put into resolutions and look at budget amendments to make that happen. Because otherwise it's just kvetching, frankly, which, you know, I get the kvetching, but we need to understand how to fix it. And that means we need to know a plan.
Is there anything that you can supply to us now that would, that we could look at that could help in the situation?
We have the market analysis data. I don't know. I did not see that data.
I would not supply that. It was convoluted.
The paid plan would be within the next couple of weeks, so we could certainly circulate those. The market analysis would have looked at the positions and ranked it against kind of above market or below market.
And just this salary study was originally due when?
I believe it was
May.
Okay.
To address that last part, no, originally we were led to believe it would be the beginning of the year, more like February, and then we got the more realistic timeline of May, and here we are in November. So the question really comes down to this. Are we going to increase taxes? If the answer is no, then we don't really have a clock because it's going to come out of fund balance no matter what we do. So making the amendment now and rushing, or doing it after the first of the year and doing it into the actual fiscal year, there's no difference. It's coming out of fund balance. And I don't think anybody's advocating right now for raising taxes. So there really isn't a rush. If we are really in the home stretch, as we're being led to believe, and I apologize, Clint, because I actually believed we would be finished with this at the beginning of this year. I believed that that study was going to get done, and that's what we asked you to wait on. And unfortunately, here we are again, asking you to wait again for it. You know, 2 years ago or 3 years ago, I asked you to put in higher increases because I thought you were below, and you reluctantly didn't want to do it, and I understood why. But now we're at critical level. This is why things need to grow gradually rather than these spikes. And that, please all be aware that salary study is going to have a sticker shock. It is not, it's going to require a rollout, absolutely going to require a rollout.
I think that right now the county attorney's office is in crisis in terms of staffing, and that there's a heroic amount of work being done to keep things going as smoothly as they are, and it could be worse. And the heroism shouldn't fall on the folks that are you know, solely on the shoulders of folks that are there. We know, and I'd be willing to go out on a limb to support this. We know from the information that Clint is sharing with us and what we see in surrounding areas, what we're hearing from Chair Kovacs and, you know, from the same industry, that this is an issue. I don't personally need a salary study to see this. What I fear is, I fear, number one, the salary study. I have zero expectation. This is not a fault of anyone on the county executive's team specifically. There is nothing you could say to me right now about a delivery date for the salary study that I would believe. And when the salary study is released, to Legislator Barris's point, a lot of positions are going to realize that there are going to be people that everyone's going to be in crisis. Everyone is going to be in crisis. And it is going to become a very challenging meal for this building to eat, to consume all of that and to make all the changes that we need to make. And that is going to push the timeline out further. And we have a very critical function here. I get phone calls from government leaders in lower levels of government, local government leaders, around contracts with the county, about the timeline of them. And I know that we are doing everything we can to fulfill that, but we know that this is affecting communities around Ulster County. And personally, I would be willing to go out on a limb and take a pot of money out of fund balance on the recommendation of our county attorney and do some salary increases so that we can shore things up in the interim, knowing that they will likely fall well short of what the salary study will recommend. And we'll deal with that when we come to it. But in the meantime, perhaps we can stop the bleeding.
Diverse. But as usual, I appreciate that, and I fully understand why you want to do this. But this problem is not unique, unfortunately, to the county attorney's office. There are numerous departments, both union and non-union, that are hurting for staff, and it's because we're not competitive. We're not competitive amongst the towns within our county and not for the other counties. So to say we're just going to do one department, the ripple effect that's going to create in our workforce, I think it needs to be a very planned approach, and we cannot single out one department or two departments. I think you're going to create havoc more than you realize.
I'm going to agree with legislators yourself, but I think this is a critical need, and I think it's in front of a lot of things that we do. Contracts are the beginning of a lot of the work that we do. And if we back up the contracts, we back up the legal work, it delays everything else. I understand what Legislator Gavaris is saying about focusing on one or two different departments, but I think this is a very key department. And I think that we need to hire lawyers. We need to hire county attorneys. We need to have this happen so that we can get ahead of the logjam that's going to happen, that's already happening with legal contracts. So I do support working with this. And I also, the other one that I think that's really important is the DA, truthfully, because they're also in the same boat. So I can see both of those as ones that I would love to have happen this year out of fund balance, because I think those two departments are critical need departments for the county, and they are kind of the lead departments for both justice and for just the work that we do as a government agency.
But what I want to impress upon you guys, that, you know, everyone keeps saying contracts is but a fraction of what I do down there. AOTs or ERPOs, when they come in, they're time sensitive. The sheriff files an ERPO proceeding. My staff or my attorney only has X amount of time to get in court to do this, to prep it. The same thing for AOT when our mental health department is an AOT matter. There's only X amount of time that we have to transfer to with the doctors, with witnesses, or that it's time sensitive. Is what it is. So it's not just contracts. It's only a part. And I keep trying to impress upon everyone. Yeah. My colleagues over the district attorney's office, my colleagues over the public defender's office, they're required to know one thing, criminal law. I better know contracts. I better know mental hygiene law. I better know public officers' law. I can go on and on and on. So that's critical.
Yes. I only agree with, I definitely agree with you. But also what's common between the DA's office, for example, and your office is the timeliness. The DA's office has disclosure reports they had to do in a particular timeliness. If they get stuck, I mean, they're working over time for exactly the same thing, mm-hmm. but around timeliness. And that's because they don't have the staff they need. So that's common. That's a commonality I was referring to, is that time that we have to do things is very short in the legal world. And we need to support that, and I think that's something we can support now and should support now.
I have a young family court attorney. I have to kick her out of the office every evening with me because I'm like, Claire, go home. I'm old. You go home to your husband. She is overburdened she has to prepare petitions. They have to get witnesses and victims. Bob and Claire are interviewing witnesses at 5, 6 o'clock in the evening. There are people coming into my office. For family court
you know, job, JD, cases, themselves, and so on and so forth. I'm afraid of losing, especially losing Claire. She's got burnt out. And for someone who I came into my office 3 years ago with no experience in family court, she is a maverick right now. And I'm not going to, I can't afford to deserve this to somebody else.
Yes. Do you know if we are the lowest paid in for countywide?
I'll tell you this. I'm the lowest paid county attorney in the entire state of New York.
Okay. So maybe there's a way to do this that doesn't create such a ripple effect, and it would help any. If we could find out through the information already gathered through Baker Tilly, if where we are the lowest, we go to at least the one minimally raised, any department, any position, minimally to the lowest rank there. So I know it doesn't get you all the way there, but it gets us at least on par with some surrounding one. And then when we go trying to get into the middle, we get through that, you know, the range, and we work our way to our final plan. At least we do something now, and it's done for everybody. So we're at least at the lowest level as compared to our neighbors.
Because I'll tell you this. I thought I stole an assistant county attorney from Greene County a couple of months ago, and called her up to offer her position, even though she said it was a salary cut. And she went silent. I know exactly why she went silent. She went silent because of this, because Sullivan County, all of a sudden, their starting salary is $125 for anyone coming into their office, period. That's almost $50,000 more than what our salary is. That's untenable.
Clint, can you just, do you have the numbers in front of you just in terms of the size of the Sullivan office, what their staff numbers are versus our office?
I was asking them to look that up for me, but they could not before I came up here and couldn't find
it. If that information could be provided to us, that would be very helpful, I think.
And I'll tell you this, and that one key thing, but Orange County, you know, my good friend Rick Golden down there, their starting salary right now is $115, and they're moving that to $120 starting January. And I promise you, as soon as they hear that Sullivan went to $125, Rick is going to, they're going to move theirs to about $130 starting, just out of law school. I cannot fill a position. I have had a lot. Jim Lavelle left on October of last year. I have not been able to fill a position. So besides, I'm working the job of several attorneys myself. I roll my sleeve up. I do contracts. I do every bloody thing else.
Are there any residency requirements for your office?
Not for the 10. So I just
yeah. So I very much agree with the, you know, feelings of Legislator Uchtel, Legislator Collins, in regards to the immediacy of the crisis that the county attorney's office is facing. I think that we need to do what we can to put a band-aid on this, and this is a triage situation, and they are the most at-risk patient that I think we need to be dealing with in terms of making sure that they, you know, as the county attorney was saying, you know, his office is at risk of losing additional people, you know, imminently. And I think that it really is a unique situation where I think that we need to be looking at potentially, I agree with my colleagues with the idea of using fund balance to at least deal with the situation in the immediacy of trying to retain and retain the individuals they have in the office and fill as many positions as they currently have. Right now, I think it's a good idea potentially to be looking at using fund balance drawdowns, just because of the immediacy of the problem in the county attorney's office. So I just wanted to, you know, lend my support for that idea as well. So,
anyone else?
Yeah, I just want to say I really am appreciating what Legislator Gavaris is saying, and I think we just have to look at this globally. I appreciate everything you're saying, and I think that we should support your office, but I think that if we single out one office, we have to have really good reasons, and we have to just be aware that it's going to cause a ripple effect. So I think, you know, we've heard now many budget presentations, and a few I've heard that's critical, we've got to hire right now, we're losing people, and others I haven't heard that. And so I think we could look at each department and see, you know, maybe we make prioritized list of, we're hearing that this is critical from this department, we haven't heard from this department, haven't heard from this department, have heard from this department, or something. We're having some sort of a look at all of it at one time. You know, I just feel that, I feel strongly that that's help us.
Anyone else? Great. Hey, thank you for your time.
No, thank you guys very much for your years. So.
All right. One more department, County Clerk. Okay. Yeah, County Clerk, Joe Brock, and Deputy Clerk, Al Wallace. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Yes, and please go right ahead.
Our budget is pretty much business as usual this year. As for any increases, any of our salary, we got all of our big technological upgrades last year. Our revenues have rebounded after pandemic. That's looking good. The industry is earning more money than it has in the last few years. So we really have nothing major to story.
Your revenue from recording, what's your goal for that?
Mortgage tax or what is that?
Yeah, mortgage tax, our transfer tax. Right now, we've hit our estimate already for 2024. For our revenues.
Mm-hmm.
So we've already 103% of our revenues, and we're only at the end of October. That's only through September, too. So we're doing really well with that. And our DMV, we're right on target. We're 83% right now. So I think we estimated well for next year. We increased the recording 100% for the revenues, 100,000, and we increased DMV 200,000. And we've always had a tendency to be conservative in the town clerk's office. So we're probably going to get there. But it's looking good with the revenues right now. Things are moving and the work is coming in, so we feel confident with that.
This is a global question.
Jim, I probably should ask before because it was noted on some of my other ones here. Why are there some department requests that are lower than what you actually put in? Do you know why?
So it's conditional,
right? Yes.
It may be that the transactions were not applied. Sometimes when you enter the transactions, we have to apply them within the system. I would have to look specifically.
So, like, just for the example for the clerk's office here, so departmental requests for professional services, you know, the fees, they asked for $9,000, but the budget amount that was put in was $14,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you're giving them more than what they're asking for.
And sometimes there's an update that's provided as we go through the budget cycle. There's a quick question, and then it's a clarification, and we try to be as accurate as possible. But there is a long gap between when they submit the budget and now.
Yeah.
So it could be updates, or it could be a transactional error, too.
Yes.
The county controller has talked about cash handling within the county in general, and I know you guys have a lot of cash. One of the concerns we have is, you know, we've seen someone who used to be the county finance person who was stealing cash from different agencies, not necessarily the county, but from the nonprofit. So do we have a plan for better cash handling? I know between, I believe, restitution is all cash, I believe there's other all cash transactions, some of them are very, very large. So do we have something that basically monitors the cash handling from beginning to end?
Well, in our office, we do mostly credit cards,
yeah.
Checks, some cash, not a lot of cash, but we have cash receipting programs. I'm not sure if I'm answering this question correctly, but we cash receipt everything that goes to the office, and it's all deposited. It's all accounted for each day. I'm not sure I'm answering it properly, what you're asking me.
Is there a limit on the cash to keep the exception?
I'm sorry.
Is there a limit? If I want to pay a $14,000 mortgage tax, I bring cash.
We never had anybody.
Interesting
question. But if it was cash, I'd probably take it.
I don't know.
I don't know why.
That's never happened.
Yes, cool.
I just want to speak for a second to say the county clerk's office does have a really strong cash management policy. and we aren't seeing the kind of large transactions in cash there that as we are at the tax window in finance.
We should say that there is a push. I just got back from the county clerk convention. There is a push to use less cash and more ACH transfers. So for things like our big mortgage checks that we write every day, things like that, there's the opportunity to kind of move forward into the future and start to handle less of that. So that is something that we're looking into, but we do balance at the end of every day.
Oh, yeah.
We've never, as far as I know.
No, we balance at the end. Our accounts at the end of the month get zeroed out. The money gets dispersed to all the different agencies, 10 different agencies, and we just start all over the first of the month. I think we have a really, really good financial management system in the county clerk's office.
And most of the time when a fee or work is recorded, you have bank checks.
Yes.
Or totally. Checks from borrowers that you don't really get a lot of cash. I don't see that.
We don't. And now we do a lot of e-recording.
Mm-hmm.
So we get the ACH just right into the bank accounts.
Sure.
And now and everything like that. And even the e-filing with the court records, it's all electronic filing. So it's all credit cards right into the bank.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't really deal a lot with the cash.
Counts.
I just want to say I thank you. I appreciate that. This is going to be a general question because I do feel like we've had this kind of issue throughout, you know, there's a question about, you know, cash handling countywide, and I just want to make sure that we understand it within each department. So thank you very much for your
answer. Any
other questions? See you then. Thanks for your time. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thank you.
I would like to note that the Human Rights Commissioner is unavailable today. We'll be appearing at our next meeting on November 14th to discuss it, budget 25. Friendly reminder, the next meeting on November 14th will be discussed at the Community Center. Same meeting time, Thursday, 4 o'clock on the 14th, but at the Community Center in Woodstock. Followed by ways of meetings again, same occasion, Woodstock. The other events. Is there a motion?
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.